Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who is Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all the firsts. First major heartbreak, first shitty apartment and soul-sucking job, first therapy session to work through those mommy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series Queenie premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, and we're back with another installment of Scam Goddess, the podcast all about robbery and fraud and those who practice it. Maybe we love them. Maybe we hate them. I don't know yet, y'all. I'm very excited. I'm always excited, right, for our guests, but I'm extremely excited for this guest. So today's guest, I have wanted this person on the podcast for so long. And the last time that I tried to get this person on the podcast, I used the wrong Twitter handle. I sent Judith, my super producer, the wrong Twitter handle. And then we were height of COVID, so we were recording via Zoom. And I didn't realize until the Zoom camera popped up. I was like, oh my God, this is not the right person. But it was still a great episode. I'm not going to tell y'all which because I don't want y'all to know. But I have wanted this person on this podcast for so long. If you're an avid basketball fan, you may know him as the king of NBA Twitter for creating hilarious basketball memes. King Josiah 54. I know y'all have seen that go viral a billion times. He's written for many TV shows such as Ava DuVernay's Cherish the Day and Netflix's Colin in the Black and White. Along with former three-time NBA star Gilbert Arenas, you can hear him co-hosting the sports podcast No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. He also co-hosts Gil's Arena, a basketball-themed show from Underdog Fantasy that airs live 3 days a week, Tuesday through Thursday, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Eastern. Congregation, please welcome the king of NBA Twitter, Josiah Johnson. Hi, Josiah.
First off, I appreciate you having me on, but who did y'all hit up and who came on the show? Was it the white Josiah Johnson? Extremely talented, I might add. Head in the heart, lead singer. Great man. We connected on Facebook about 10 years ago. He told me, great name. This was before we were anybody special. I was like, who is this nigga? Then 10 years later, he's out. We're both out here getting it. So
I can't tell you because it'll reveal which episode it is, and I don't want that person to know.
You scammed yourself.
I did.
How many Josiah Twitters are there out there? Is there a bunch?
You know what's funny? It's not even a Josiah Twitter. There's just like another light-skinned black man who looks like you, and I screenshot his handle and not yours.
I hope it was Sharunas Jackson because he's good looking. He's good looking. That's the only other good looking light-skinned man I could think of.
I actually haven't had Sharunas on this podcast yet, and I know Sharunas.
Okay.
Well, he's a homie. Yeah, I've like booked him on like live shows, but not this podcast. And I'm going to have to call him.
Very generational, good looking.
I'm going to be like, hey, Josiah, can you come on the podcast?
If you flip our things again, I'll pull back up here. I appreciate you having me on now.
Yes, I appreciate you being here. We always ask on this podcast, what is your relationship with scams? Like, have you ever been scammed? Do you love them? Do you hate them? It could be anything.
Yeah, I've been scammed quite a few times. I feel like you can't be a black man in America, you know, and not be scammed.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like from birth.
Since the beginning of time, you know, since we've set foot on this beautiful country. But yeah, a bunch of, I mean, I've been a part of scams, been on the other side of scams. I'm trying to think just
all anything that you're legally allowed to talk about.
So when I was right after I graduated college, we had used this product that we thought, it was super hot at the time. A bunch of guys were using it, a bunch of famous athletes. And we thought like it was these two patches that you put on your body. And it was supposed to be like a positive, negative, yin and yang shit. But it was supposed to increase your energy and your activity or whatever. So a couple of buddies of mine, fresh out of college, we didn't have any money. and we shouldn't have known. It wasn't necessarily quote unquote pyramid, but it had like a janky structure to it, and you had to sign a bunch of people up and get them to use it.
I'm just giving MLM.
And like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we got with the MLM, literally went out to, they had a thing in like Arizona. We went out to like a big convention with all these other people. Then eventually it was like, oh fuck, we out here scamming people. Do these shits really work?
Did they fly you out to the convention?
No, we had to pull up on our own dime.
Oh,
it was
okay.
One of those type of things. Good lunch though. They had a very good lunch, I will say that. But had all these like kooky doctors and scientists and kind of people who are outside traditional science. It taught me
like
a lot.
They got all their medical degrees in the Virgin Islands.
Questionable medical degrees, but they were breaking all the science and all that shit behind it. And it sounded really good. And we knew a bunch of people who were using it who were benefiting from it. But there were these janky patches used to stick to your skin and they would never stick. So as soon as you got a little bit of sweat, it would like pop off. Mm-hmm. So kind of, you know, we should have knew then that we were on some bullshit. But
now that's when your body has rejected it. That means that you got all the balancing and so that then it falls off naturally.
Natural moisture or whatever it was. So I apologize to anybody I got involved with that. I haven't talked about that probably in what, like almost 20 years.
Not the apology.
No, I have to.
Josiah, people are going to listen to this and they're going to know that you sold them this.
But I thought it was real too. We were getting got. We had high level people, trainers, all these people that were using it, NBA Hall of Famers, all these people, you know, swimmers, Olympians, all these people were on it. And then we took a step back and was like, this is some bullshit. That was my first foray into MLM, my last foray as well. It taught me a valuable lesson about life. So if I scammed y'all, I apologize. You can't do shit about it now, statute of limitations. But nonetheless, accept this apology wholeheartedly from me. And we'll keep this thing just moving and pushing.
Yo, I love that. That's going to be like a through line through this episode.
Statute of limitations.
Like you being someone who is endorsing a product. We're going to be talking about people endorsing products this entire episode.
So scamming, but you know, we've all been scammed before. I've been scammed by all types of human beings. I'm still getting scammed currently. You know, as a member of the Writers Guild of America, West Coast, the scamming is, you know, when you read those contracts, those endless pages of contracts and in perpetuity and all that other bullshit that they try to sneak in there.
Yeah.
We are getting scammed. So.
Oh, for sure. And it's like you're creating the thing that makes all the millions and billions of dollars. And they're like, we can't afford to pay y'all no money, though.
That's my problem with...
We so poor, even though we on the stock market and whatnot. We super poor.
My problem with the entertainment industry, you work on a lot of projects. And I work with talented people like Ava DuVernay, Michael Starberry, people mm-hmm. who, you know, Emmy-nominated, incredibly creative, talented people. Then all these other niggas' names show up on the show. And you don't even know who the fuck they are. EP this person, that person. I don't know what the fuck they do. Getting a bigger bag than me. And like you mentioned, all this stuff moves with the writer. So the fact that we got to now be picketing and on strike and not getting bread and the way they've been cutting series and this, that, and the third. Like it's
many
like,
rooms, like yeah. All of it. We're actually going to get into it on an episode. But also what's interesting to me about that is that sometimes producers are just like a guy who goes to a party and like he at the party like, hey, I got this new show that I like. And that's it.
So let me.
He makes more money than the people who make the show.
I know that's not the reason why we're here today, but obviously the writer's strike is fresh on everybody's mind. I will tell you the one biggest bullshit about the industry, and I'm thankful now I've created a lane for myself that I don't really have to deal with it anymore, but it's the open writing assignments. So I'm sure everybody's dealt with those. Like you mentioned, some producers are like, oh, I got a great idea for a basketball show. I remember I was talking to somebody one time. I forget. I'm not going to name no names. Obviously, I'm still trying to work in the industry.
Right.
But they're like, oh, man, we got this great idea for a show. Kind of gave me this half-baked idea. Then the nigga said something to me that forever resonated. He was like, yeah, we only reached out to like eight other writers. I'm like, y'all niggas reached out to eight other people to do the exact same thing I'm doing. And now we're all fighting each other to see which idea is the best. Like, you're not going to steal bits and pieces from everybody else's shit to make this product. And I'm supposed to be like, oh, man, only eight other people are competing for this opportunity. It's like, y'all niggas better go to the store with that shit. Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? Like,
listen, it's wild to me how we are exploited as creatives. I'm SAG, so I'm an actor.
I write, but
I'm like, my union is mostly SAG. Like yeah. I have a deep respect for writers because like I do a lot of improv on set, but I'm not gonna be out here Jenna Ortega-ing it and saying that like I would be able to do that improv without the writers because I wouldn't be able to. And also, there's no show without the direction and the input of the writers. So even if I do come up with something, it's based off of something that writers created.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Like, it would be a scam to be like, oh yeah, I'm so smart. I'm, but you know, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, but yeah, you're right. Like, these companies don't give a shit about us, so we don't need to give a shit about them. People want to be like, oh, nobody wants to work anymore, Kim K. But it's like, yeah, we don't want to work for free or for cheap. Like,
Exposure. I got some exposure for it. Look, exposure is good sometimes.
I can't pay Con Edison in exposure.
Sometimes, but you have to be able to understand that, because a lot of people will come with the exposure. It's like, you're not really exposing shit. Now, if LeBron's like, yo, Josiah, do some free shit for me, and I'll hit you on my IG or on my Twitter, Brian, I got you. Like, that's actually going to lead to something.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of exposure.
But if it's like bum nigga, like, oh man, I got X amount of followers, like, no, that's not going to resonate. That's not going
to
create the engagement.
But that's who always wants to pay you in exposure. Yeah, it's for never sure. The people who actually have exposure. It's always the people who don't that are like, come on.
And as I started growing in this game, like, when you first start growing this game, people send you free shit. It's like, oh man, free shit. I don't even care what it is. Nacho cheese, liquor, whatever. Oh, it's free. Then it's like, all right, I don't even drink like that, dog. Y'all sending all this liquor to the house. I don't even drink liquor. Like, I don't even drink like this. I don't need it, but it does make good Christmas gifts, friends and family.
Yeah, we regifted all.
Yeah, you're getting this Hennessy regifted to you. Love Hennessy as a product. Don't drink that much of it. I'm going to be honest. Special occasions.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not going to say it. We love Hennessy. Sponsor the podcast.
I love Hennessy, but it's like, how many bottles can you send?
Anything is possible. And now we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements.
Scams!
Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks. Trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have 3 different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too, because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing it right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select My Show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
And we are back, and it's time for What's Hot in Fraud.
Okay.
I need a fake name from you. We don't care about gender. It's a construct.
Let's go Brontavious.
Brontavious. Wow, I'm getting the best names these days. Remember when Carl gave us October? Now we got Brontavious. Love this. That also feels like a branch off of LeBron. But
that's my nickname for LeBron when he's really killing. Like, let's go Brontavious.
Oh, so like when he was up against, what's that man's name? Is it Devin Brooks or
who? Oh, Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. There we go.
LeBron Dylan Brooks.
My guy who was like, I need you to do 40 so I can respect you, and then got beat by 40.
But look, the nut punch, there was a lot of stuff going on. Dylan Brooks. And the thing, we talked about this on the show with Gil, and it's like, if you say all that shit, just stand on it. Now, if you do all that, I don't respect, he's old.
You can't run out and not do a press conference after that. Like, you got to take your L.
LeBron busts your ass. That's what we expected to happen. That's not like, oh, damn, Dylan Brooks got his ass busted by LeBron. That's like, yeah, nigga, we knew that was coming. Your teammates knew that was coming. Your fan base knew that was coming. But if you at least stand on it, you got to be like Patrick Beverly with it. Like, say some shit. If it don't happen, all right, just double down on it. He got lucky. Whatever. I'm going to get him next time. Whatever it is.
Wait, something. Something. And he literally scurried away and didn't say nothing, which was just so embarrassing. And then the Grizzlies doubled down. Like, under no circumstances will we be hiring him again.
That was foul. That was, especially because they had seen all that shit going on.
They threw him out like Jazz at Fresh Prince. They're like, ah! They threw him away.
And he was rocking booty shorts. So that's just it was a really tough week. But we're going to pray for Dylan Brooks. I don't think his NBA career is over.
We got to pray for him. They say he's going to China, but this is my favorite joke. I think he will be fine. Like, if you get to guard LeBron, you're not a bad basketball player.
That does says a lot that the team, either everybody else was ready to duck smoke and put you in that situation, but more times than not, they respect you enough to be like, look, you're not going to really stop LeBron, but we don't want to embarrass nobody else, so you go ahead and do it.
I mean, the man is like 37, and you really pissed him off, which gave him more energy. So,
God bless you, Dylan Brooks. We appreciate
you. Yeah. Honestly, entertainment. It was bringing me back to like LSU. Like, I love some shit talking. That brings me to the yard. So, Brontavious. There we go. Brontavious says, hi, Lacey. I'm a new graduate from TXST. I'm guessing that's Texas State. And I have been applying to like an insane number of jobs. Nothing like jumping into the tech field during layoff season. Yeah, that's a bad time to do it. So I'm receiving a lot of emails about rejections and interviews. So when I got a message asking for a job interview, I was so excited. I'm ready to stop working at Starbucks and get my bag. Okay. Yes. I don't want you to make no more half wraps. Okay. I was a little suspicious because it was from a job that I don't remember applying for, but I figured it could just be one that I forgot about. Because, like, you be clicking on stuff on the websites, it could be anything. Okay. Yet, when I asked when I could set up a time, the scammer, excuse me, I'm not going to say, you put their names in here, and I can't do that because one time people tried to sue me. So yeah, I'm going to say,
Dan, I was going to say, you got to
Blanky McBlankerson, because I can't. So it says, gave me an entire PDF containing a job description, an hourly pay of $45 an hour. Ooh, that's cute. And it's not the same as the job description, because the job description, I guess, said more like $25 an hour, which would still be likable.
Okay.
And at the very bottom said, if I wanted to do an interview, I had to download this is on caps, secure messaging app Wire. Yes. In caps, like they wrote it. I don't know what secure messaging app Wire is, but it doesn't sound like a place where you get jobs.
Scam time.
Like, I would be more comfortable with you being like, you got to go on Craigslist. And I'd be like, well, Craig got his list. And
yeah, scammer time.
So just the word Wire set off alarm bells in my head, because immediately I was like, wire fraud? ? Yep. Below that, he had included another random name. When I Googled Wire, I saw that the second Google result was Wire Job Scam. Apparently, this is a common scam, so common that the app has to have a whole page on their website about it. Yeah, if you have to have a page on your site that's like, hey, we not robbing you.
Yeah.
You probably robbing people.
Elite scamming. Not elite, but you do it. The thing about any scam, you do it enough people, somebody's going to fall for it. So you do it a million times. It's all percentage based. So.
But isn't it kind of funny to be like, let's make people feel safer by being like, hey, we know y'all heard that this is a scam, but it's definitely not a scam. Just come on in. Like, don't.
For 45 an hour when I, 25, like.
Y'all read it too much.
Look, nobody's trying to give you more money than what they have to. So anytime that does happen, it's either some porn, it's some shit cracking, it's an OnlyFans. Something's going to happen. You're doing something you don't want to do.
Yeah, that's honestly how you make the most money, is like doing things that you don't want to do.
Look, if I was more attractive and younger and single, I would have definitely hit up OnlyFans, got my bag right. So I salute y'all who are getting money out there doing it. Be safe, be discreet.
Honestly, OnlyFans, it feels like a good backup, because I always thought that I could be a stripper and that would be like a joke that people would say in college all the time. But like, strippers are like Simone Biles style. Like, they are so acrobatic. I don't have the upper body strength. I can barely climb a pole. Like, I could not do that realistically for a living.
Look, in my younger stripper going to strip club days, like the greasiness of the pole was always fascinating, because they would always like spray it down to be able to climb. It was just like, Who decided that the poll was like, this is what makes a strip club a strip club?
I don't know, but it's honestly too labor intensive for me.
Yeah, like, definitely. It's
manual
labor.
I wanted to sadly walk across the stage and like slowly like take off undergarments and get paid thousands of dollars. And that is not the market anymore. Like, these people are talented as fuck. They are hot as shit. I don't want to get a BBL.
No.
I can't do it. I can't do it. When I Googled twice, I saw that the second Google result was wire job scam. Obviously, they were like, don't look over here. I read that when you reach out through the wire, they will ask people to either buy a computer or to have it shipped to the scammer's address and ask for their bank account info for payment or any other number of ways that they could scam you. I mean, all it takes is a W-2 form in the wrong hands to have your social security number stolen. That's a fact. That's a fact. And the company was Clarist Health, in case anyone else receives an email like this. I thought about downloading the app to see how far the scam would go, but I ain't got time to waste on people trying to steal my money. Plus, the other week, the scammer got mad at my boyfriend for blocking him on Instagram and spammed his business account with hundreds of hate comments on Instagram. I don't want any hate comments on my LinkedIn. I will stay away. What? So you went too far with it. Like,
that's a lot of information. You get those. You get these letters every episode.
Yes.
Damn, you have a devoted. I will not tell you shit.
Them. No, I love them.
I appreciate
it. But also, I'm like, your boyfriend had the scammer mad, and then sent trolls out. Okay, so I'm confused because if your boyfriend went through with this scam, then why did you go through with the scam as well? In addition to,
did her boyfriend pull up on the scammer and say, "Are you scamming, dog?" And then the scammer sent. But the great thing about Instagram hate comments, just swipe and delete. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't. I'm confusion. I don't really understand what happened. I read a bunch of stuff and I have not interpreted it. Do you get it?
No, I don't. Like, as soon as somebody said, wire me some bread for a job, I would have clicked delete. They saw all that, took the letter. Hopefully they sent some like screen grabs of what it was, but I feel bad, though, especially for people in this current job market trying to get gigs and how, because I got scammed again. Now that you remind me of it, after college, I was trying to find jobs, trying to get my life. Some company that was selling paper, but it was like B2B, which sounds great when you're young. Like, ooh, B2B.
B2B?
So business to
they
business.
They just put letters. They just rolled up on
niggas' businesses like, yo, you want to buy some printer paper? And I'm just like, dog, I'm supposed to be doing this all day, every day. No knock to the people who do it. Did that shit for one day, borrowed a suit from my dad. We went and worked in like the San Pedro area, California, LA. Mm-hmm. Then I saw somebody who knew me. I'm like, yeah, I can't be doing this shit. I can't be doing this shit.
The ops. That's why you quit?
That's why I almost did Uber too at one point. You know, writer's jobs were not flourishing. I wasn't able to do the things I'm doing now. And I was like, I can't do Uber and see a nigga who knows me. And I got to give that nigga a ride somewhere and have him try to tell me directions.
That's
fair.
Like,
I don't know LA better than he do. Like, no, I can't do that.
Do people try to tell directions at Ubers anymore?
I have to tell them sometimes.
The app is like,
sometimes the app, but that's the thing about Waze too. Waze scams as well, since we're here. Waze will scam you.
Oh, yeah. Waze will be like, drive through this lady backyard. That'll save you 2 minutes.
Like, oh, you could cut across here. Like, you want me to cut across Wilshire Boulevard during rush hour? Like, you think I'm going to make it? Like, how do you think I'm going to make it across with
no
stoplight?
You ain't playing Super Mario?
With no stoplight. Nah, I'm straight. Like, I'll just sit at the light and wait. Scoot my ass on over.
You know what? That's your fault, Josiah. I'm sorry. You don't do enough crime because personally, I'll run stoplights. Everything is a suggestion to me.
Okay.
Especially at late at night, that's horse and buggy hours, which means that if I see a red light, but it's like 2 a.m., ain't nobody on the road. I'm driving through that.
I'll be scared. I'll check my periphery because I'm not good at being sneaky.
I look left and right. I look real hard left and right.
But you know it's always somebody lurking.
I look down deep and I'm like, and then I go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I respect it.
You shouldn't. It's crime.
But we also have this podcast now that's a living document. So in case some shit does go down, y'all gonna have to delete this episode.
No, yeah. We're gonna have to take that out just for insurance purposes because y'all know I don't got good insurance.
No insurance.
And stop photoshopping me in photos with the general. Stop it, okay? Y'all don't know what insurance I have.
You got the general? You got the general?
I don't have that.
That's Shaq's thing, right?
Yeah, it is.
Honestly, I rock with it.
I can't. I don't have cartoon insurance. All right. So, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be right back. Robbery!
Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. Now, save up to $800 on select adjustable mattress sets only at stearnsandfoster.com. Lesser savings may apply.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
We're back, and it's time for Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Josiah with the famous con, caper, criminal, group of criminals. We don't know yet. Maybe we love them. Maybe we hate them. We don't know. Today, we're talking about Sam Bankman-Fried, which, Josiah, you correctly identified at the beginning of the show.
Look at that dude. White man with curly hair like that. Like, I'm about to get your money. I'm about to get you for everything you got, doggy. SBF.
I mean,
and he's got a, he's got an acronym
so
name.
Right. I like him.
You trusting that nigga with your money. And I'm not going to lie. There was a point in my life a few years ago, I'd have been like, sure, FTX, whatever. Well, hey, all these celebrities, the famous people can't be wrong.
He's giving Zuckerberg light, you know, just like a goofy little white boy who's going to give you money, who's going to get so much money because he's so goofy.
Yeah, be careful with the curly permed Caucasians. I'm just going to tell you, a curly permed Caucasian. Under the right,
you know what it gives? It's like, oh, it's like kind of like a little bit of an afro. Like, you kind of us a little bit.
Yeah. Negro tendencies. But a lot of y'all know Negroes who are scammers, so you got to understand that side
of
the tendency.
He's black coated. He's definitely black coated a little bit. And he's like a happy little goofy little guy. I'm like, I want to give him my money. Look at him. He's so happy and
give
goofy.
Me that historic hoodwink. What kind of computer y'all using in here? Hold up. Get y'all an Apple. Look at y'all in the Sirius studio.
Yes. So he was said to be a wonderkin of the crypto world. He became a multi-billionaire before the age of 30 through establishing his cryptocurrency exchange, FTX. But in November of 2022, his lies set in motion the biggest collapse in crypto history. I mean, I don't understand why y'all did. So I want to talk about this up top. Crypto was one of those industries where white people got involved much faster than everyone. And there's obviously like socioeconomical, you know, reasons why they were more advantageous or they had a more advantageous position, right? So by the time that black people and brown people and other people got involved, it was imploding and they lost the most money. They took the most risk and they lost the most money. And it's just funny to me that everybody was like, oh, we're going to give our money to like a new currency that everybody just made up that is fake.
Yeah.
But if you were in the beginning of Bitcoin, you got paid.
So I got a sad story to tell y'all, and I'll share. You know, you really got me out here sharing shit that I've kept to myself for a long time. Okay. Former coworker of mine, literally my boy, like 2013, 2014. Josiah, you got to fuck with Bitcoin. Like, you got to, like, all right, explain it to me. Oh, man, it's this, that, whatever. I'm like, nigga, shit don't make no sense. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, dog. It was probably trading for, like, $60 a coin or whatever it was back then. It's like, this is the future. Like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, dog, I don't, like, first of all, look at our job titles. Like, why am I taking advice from you? You are my inferior. What do you know about this shit? What do you know about this shit that I don't know?
Not my superior, but my inferior.
Yeah, but it's like, you brokered me. How the fuck you giving me financial advice? Which is another thing. I always tell people, don't take financial advice from broke people, but you can. Just don't listen. Listen to, if they tell you to do one thing, do the other. You know what I'm saying?
Do the exact opposite.
Take that advice. Like, okay, bam. But we all have cousins, uncles, whatever. Like, oh, you need to invest in this. You need to invest in that. Like, you are broker than me, auntie. Like, how are you going to tell me
and
what to invest
in? And this is a cousin con. This is a cousin Facebook con. We all know y'all had cousins out there who were on Facebook talking about FTX.
Somebody throwing some glasses. Now they an expert in fucking everything crypto or whatever. But he told me 2014, get in on it. I'm like, I'm not fucking with this shit. Fast forward when it hit like 60,000 of Bitcoin. I'm like, damn, I should listen to that nigga. Like, he was spot on. Like, I saw him one time in a supermarket. I didn't say what's up, though, because I didn't want him to rub it in my face. And I was in Calabasas.
Your cousin. You ducking your cousin?
No, this was a former coworker.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But we have those cousins and people in our family who are always telling, oh, you need to do this and do that and whatever. And it's like, But crypto sounded good, and this is my problem always with crypto that really used to bother me. It was like my white friends that I knew would talk about in like a condescending tone if you couldn't understand what they were saying. It's like, I put my money in here, don't know where it's at, now I can untraceable or whatever, and don't know how I'm going to get it back if I lose my wallet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing to me is if someone explains something to you and it sounds so vague that you can't understand it, it's a fucking scam. It is. Like, truly, I have been on business calls with people where I'm like, what does everyone do? And they're like, I'm in charge of promotion and product alignment scale. I interface with the corporation in a y'all know about synergy. That's what I be doing. Like, okay, just explain to me like I'm a 2-year-old. And if you can't explain it simply, it is a scam.
I see so many job titles in the last 5 or 10 years. Like, nigga, what do you actually do? Like, what?
Are you? What just, do you do?
You just called that person and told them that person was on the phone? Like what? Are you, like, I don't know. Like,
buy, sell. What do you do?
I'm a strategic alignment. And it's like, what are you talking about?
And that's like what crypto, like, for the most part, has been explained to me as. And I know what it is. Like, cryptocurrency is like an online currency that allows you to, like, basically, you can use crypto anywhere. And I've had people try to sell me on it. Like, if you live in a country where you can't trust the banking system, which, hey, America, we live in a country where you can't trust the banking system. Look at SVP. Look at all these. Like, if you have more than $250,000 in one bank account, you should probably split that bitch up because that's all the FDIC insurers.
That is so, because I've surpassed that point finally in my life. That is some wild ass shit to think about, especially with everything that's going on with the banking.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you put all this money here. We can guarantee 250. Okay, but I have more than 250, right, chief. Like,
they're like, but we stole that. So you got 250, but we stole the rest. So Sam Bankman-Fried is the son of two Stanford professors. As an adult, he majored in physics at MIT, but was heavily influenced by the philosophy of an effective altruism leader, Will Mickaskill.
What is that nigga holding?
This is him. Look at him. He look deep. He holding something that looks deep.
And give me your money.
Yeah. He has thoughts, and he's a thought leader. We get it. Will's teachings convinced Sam that it was actually most effective to become as rich as possible as quickly as possible in order to give it away. So he's like, get all the money from everybody and then become an altruist. Okay.
I wish I could.
So in 2013, at the age of 21, Sam was led to begin a career on Wall Street, where he dove into the world of cryptocurrency arbitrage. Note that cryptocurrency arbitrage is the process of buying coins for a lower price on the crypto exchange, then quickly selling them for a higher price on a different exchange. Okay. So flipping shit.
Grade A finessing.
Soon after, he made friends with other effective altruists whom he convinced to join him on this process. Together, they founded his trading firm, Almeida Research. One of these friends and later lover, okay, was the woman who would be named as one of Sam's biggest accomplices, Caroline Ellison. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Why she look? Oh, my God. Why she look like that? Mm. Oh, wow. Mm. Y'all gonna understand when we post this to the Instagram, because that was an assault.
You never know,
y'all,
though.
Y'all could have told
heart,
me.
Good heart. You never know, you know.
Man.
You never know what she working with.
I mean, listen.
But yeah.
I'm pretty, and I thought I had a good personality. She clearly has a better personality than I do.
Great, exquisite personality. You never know.
Top tier personality. Damn. I gotta work harder on myself. So.
I'm trying to not get canceled, so I'm gonna keep my mouth shut.
We haven't said anything disparaging about Caroline, okay? We just
you know.
Anyways,
everybody finds something that they like. All right, who are we to judge? You know, love who you love.
Love is love. So little is known about this woman. She's 30 under 30. Applicant. That's not 30 under 30. She applied. Okay.
That's some shit. Hey, she got black tendencies. Give it up. Yeah, I'm going to Duke when I applied, nigga. Shit.
I applied to Harvard. I didn't go there. Like, what are we talking about?
That's like when people be like, oh, I got an audition. Like, okay.
You don't got the job.
Yeah, nigga, I got an audition for a new Tyler Perry joint. Like, all right.
So her parents are esteemed economists. Her father, Glenn Ellison, is currently the head of the economics department at MIT, and her mother, Sarah, is currently an economics department lecturer. Oh, they met over economics. That's horny. They was fucking to some charts.
Getting jiggy over graphs.
Over graphs. Fucking on graphs, bro. Like, that's hot. We haven't seen that. I want the movie. Write it.
Yeah. You know, but you know how they're going to do, how they're going to make her, you know, Zendaya or somebody like that. They're going to really
elevate. Zendaya would never be an economist, and we need to stop making movies where smart people are hot, because, like, I'm smart and hot, but most of us are not. Like, come on, let's be so serious, okay? So she was also... So before she climbed her way to being the head of one of the biggest crypto firms in the country, Caroline was a star student. She was also self-described Ravenclaw. That's Harry Potter, right? With JT Turf, J Turf Rowling? Yeah, bugger. A camp counselor and an author of LARP, which is a live action role playing situation.
Hey, them niggas who be LARPing, I'm gonna give it like them LARPers be out there really doing it, so I can't even hate.
I kind of low key want to LARP.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like there's a good time period for me to LARP in.
Nah, we you know, like the Civil War reenactments and shit. Nah. There's just some shit we can't be a part of.
Slaves. I don't want to go cosplay being a slave. That's not fun.
They're about
fun.
To start doing civil rights reenactments. Like, we don't want to be a part of those. We're not LARPing those.
We don't want to fight for the Confederacy out of no choice. No.
We're not LARPing those.
Well, maybe we could LARP like Downton Abbey, but like it have to be like a race-free LARP. Like, okay. Where they just let us be the lords.
I'm with it. What's that? I don't even know what the show is, but it's all those black aristocrats. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
Is it Bridgerton?
One of them joints.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
Look at all these black people with the laybacks. Like, I like it.
I low-key, like, people are like, that's not accurate, and, like, Shonda Rhimes is selling it. I'm like, no, I love it, Shonda. Like, please, go. Let us be the head of the ball.
If I have to look at white Jesus, then y'all going to accept some Bridgerton.
Y'all going to accept white or black Bridgerton. I love it. I love it. I love it for us. So, but while achieving high marks and academic honors, she ran a Tumblr blog called World Optimization, where she posted thoughts such as, in quotes, the sexual revolution was a mistake. Women are better suited to being homemakers and rearing children than doing careers. Yeah, but you got hella careers. How you going to tell people to stay at home?
You can't be a grade-A scammer trying to tell other people they need to be at but that's smart, though. Y'all stay at the crib so I can be out here scamming.
Just like, y'all stay home and get pregnant while I make the money.
You can't, like, religion, all that shit, you can't believe none of it, all right? Because a lot of people that say do all this shit be the nastiest, freakiest ones.
Literally the nastiest. Anybody who's obsessed with, like people who are like, oh, we're trying to stop drag queens from performing because they're groomers. They always come out to be pedophiles. Like, always. Like, why are you so fixated on stopping something? You are part of it.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling on yourself.
You didn't see shit because you was doing shit. That's
always. Honestly, anybody who volunteers any information that you didn't ask for is trying to cover up for some shit.
Yep.
It's like, you see somebody walking up and they're like, I didn't steal nothing. It's like, why you say that? Why did you say that?
That is textbook black 101. I didn't steal means you took the shit.
You stole
it. Because nobody asked you if you stole it.
Like, you were unprompted and you just told us that you didn't steal nothing. Like, you definitely stole it. So, no, not at all. And so she also posted her opinions on race science. Oh, no, not there a racist. Now I don't feel bad for laughing at her ugly ass. The bitch is ugly. I'm sorry. I didn't say it earlier.
I didn't know she was racist.
But now I'm going to say it because.
She an ugly ass racist.
It's fair. It's fair for us to say it. Now, I ain't never seen an uglier face in my motherfucking life. Okay. Bitch, just she don't look right, okay?
God didn't make you look like that and then make you think that your race is somehow better than mine.
Imagine thinking you superior when you look like that.
Not with that overbite. No.
Fucking foot.
Madam.
Bitch, you look like a toad, though. Like, come on. Wowzers. Wowzers. A face a mother couldn't love, okay? Now, back to it. We can say that, though, because she's a racist.
Yeah, if you're right, then all bets are off.
At Stanford, she discovered effective altruism, the same brand of altruism Sam fell under and perhaps used to shield his wrongdoing. So they both were like, if we get as rich as hell as fast as possible, then we're going to help the world.
Yeah.
Except for the Browns.
Yeah, except for black people and
yeah,
brown
except
people.
For all the Browns. So after becoming vice president of Stanford's Altruism Club, she named her blog Fake Charity Nerd Girl. She already calling it out. She said fake.
She's saying I am a scammer.
Right. She's like, robbery.com. Wink. No. So it was through her interest in effective altruism that she met Sam and moved to Alameda Research at its beginning. Though the exact details of the relationship isn't known, Sam and Caroline were said to have dated each other among a group of 10 other roommates.
What? So they're freaky racists?
Yeah, so they, no shade to people who are into poly, but they were
communal cheek smashing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And listen, you are racist, so we judging you for everything.
Stanford. Hey, Stanford, a lot of nerds, but they nerds being into that weird shit. I'm going to be honest. They're freaky geeky.
The band geeks be fucking more than anybody.
Yeah.
They be fucking early. A lot.
Yeah.
Okay? So, it's fair. So, years earlier, Caroline posted, and a lot of people, just one more caveat, who go to Ivy League schools be in band. They be playing the oboe, and then they be playing the hobo, you know?
This one time at band camp.
They want that on their resume. They like, I played a harp, and also, you know, played it hard. That's what they be doing.
Tickling.
Their fingers are strong, is what we're trying to say, okay? So they be fucking. Anyways, so years earlier, Caroline posted to her blog regarding polyamory. She said everyone should have a ranking of their partners. People should know where they fall on the ranking, and there should be vicious power struggles for higher rankings, likening the dynamic to a Chinese imperial harem.
I mean, she races, but, you know, everything she's saying, not completely inaccurate.
Wow.
I'm just fucking around.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
You want to rank your partners?
Look, I have one partner.
You're married, right?
Yeah, so I'm she won the ranking, but if they were in a polyamorous environment, yeah, everybody can't be complacent. Who want to be number two? Somebody got to want to be number one out
here.
Yeah,
I would want people to fight for my love.
Who want to be last place? Who want to, you know?
But how do you make yourself number one to be like, you got to fight for my love?
Effective altruism. Okay, you got to effectively be altruistic. Who got the most bread up in here and who donating the most?
Okay, so then I win. Okay. Oh. Wow. Okay. So despite eventually rising to be the sole control as CEO at Alameda, Caroline largely remained invisible in the background for most of her time at the company. So she was there, she was pulling all the strings, but ain't nobody know about it.
She was pulling a lot of strings.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand how you got 10 boyfriends and girlfriends and then you running a company and doing crime. But it just feels like too much work.
Do you think she was the best looking of that crew?
Hell no.
Because I'm going to say... That's a struggle mode right there. Oof.
But she was the richest, so
effectively altruistic.
You hold a stack up to your face, you gonna look sexy.
I wonder if they were doing like stacks of the dumb like rappers do, like but in their own nerdy way.
You know, Caroline had to take pictures with money because how's she getting people even to pull up for this? Because I've talked about this before. I talked about it with Naomi and Andy, where if people invited me to a threesome, it was always like a hot, sexy woman and a guy in a weird hat. So
okay.
She's not a hot, sexy woman, so she at least had to have on like a weird hat or stacks of money next to her face.
Some stacks.
Something. So the success of FTX, by 2019, under the leadership of Sam and later Caroline, Alameda had generated enough profit that Sam launched his own crypto exchange, FTX. The draw of FTX was that it allowed riskier trades than other exchanges normally allowed in the United States. By 2021, at the age of 29, Sam was worth around $22.5 billion and had become a celebrated philanthropist. You know you can write off donations.
Oh, shit. I know.
I think one of the most trusted trading places is OpenSea, but there's a bunch of different crypto trading places that are not as safe. And so I think FTX was like, hey, girl, y'all can come over here and like do some weird shit. Like, I remember when Squid Game came out and got super popular in the United States, there was a Squid Game coin that was launched for like millions of dollars, and they just stole all the money and disappeared. But it wasn't on a vetted trading space. Like
if you buy a Squid Coin, if you put bread into a Squid Coin, you deserve to get your bread taken.
You victim blaming.
You got nothing to show for it. No actual coin, nothing. Some marbles, like nigga with the marbles in Squid Game. You got.
They did. They was looking on them cookies and they got
a bag of rocks, my guy.
So sad for y'all. So he built this image being the people's billionaire. There is no such thing as the people's billionaire.
Yeah.
Look at him. So he just dressed really bad.
Damn, the first pic you showed versus then, like that nigga was going through some tough times. Or he's eating a lot of lobster.
No, he's the people's billionaire. He said, I'm dressing real bad. And so that's how y'all know I'm for the people.
That's the same dude? Damn.
Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like the first photo we saw was like a dating app photo, and then when you go on the actual date, he show up looking like this.
Well, I'm hating it though, but like the first photo was like me in college, and the one that was like me now. I've been eating good. I ain't even gonna lie. I'm trying to get this work in, but shit.
So listen, he wore sweatpants. He had messy hair. He drove a Toyota Corolla. Oh, he's for the people. He played computer games during pitch meetings. He was really trying to give the girls. He was cosplaying poor.
He was out here LARPing. But I will say
he was LARPing for poverty.
When you make...
Now, listen, a Toyota Corolla is not a poverty car. That's, okay, that's not what we're saying.
Like
I'm just saying if you're a billionaire
was a Honda
and you're driving...
Ford.
Yeah.
My favorite car ever.
That shit will last forever.
Great
Toyotas
gas mileage.
And Hondas will last forever.
This is pre like gas prices being janky, but back in those days, I could scrunch underneath the chair, find a dollar worth of coins, whatever, and get enough gas to be moving all throughout L.A., so... When you're rich, you got to look broke because that's the problem a lot of people run into who aren't really rich. They might get a little bit of bread up front, but you can't be wearing all that flashy shit because all you're saying is, hey, nigga, rob me. And you know, especially in L.A., I drove by Hot Wings Cafe on the way over. You know, that was where we used to hang out when I was young. Nowadays, all you see is videos of niggas getting pulled up on and robbed quickly. Give me your chain. Give me your whatever.
Right.
Can't even enjoy Hot Wings.
Right.
Can't even enjoy Hot Wings in L.A. without
like,
getting
rolled
up on.
Like, if you're not flying private, why do you have Louis Vuitton luggage?
Yeah.
You just telling everybody at the TSA to rob your ass when you check your bag.
Exactly. Like them girls who got Friday drugs. TSA just
like that's
shit.
That's what you deserve. TSA are robbers. Okay? That whole ounces situation that they be talking about, they don't really follow that. I've been robbed so many times from TSA and it's only when I have expensive shit.
Yeah,
only.
For sure.
And they're like, oh, this is 3.6 ounces, so we're gonna have to take that from you. And it's like a whole Jo Malone like brand new like perfume.
The worst
is
when they leave
bath.
The note in, like, yo, we just finessed you.
Yeah.
Like, and damn, none of this is in my shit. Like, damn.
Now one time they let me keep it, and I think it was because they know what to do with it. I had flew some pie batter because my mom makes the best sweet potato pie, and so I flew some frozen pie batter in my checked bag to Atlanta.
Okay.
And they opened my bag and left me a note like, hey, we was up in here, but they left the pie batter.
Okay.
Because they was like, oh man, we thought we was going to actually get something good.
Yeah, you know.
And they didn't even know that pie batter was busting.
But if used correctly, right, you know the recipe and the formula. They probably didn't know how to really turn that pie batter into a delicious pie.
They couldn't flip it. And that's why they let me keep it, because they couldn't flip it. But anything that they could flip, they take it. So he looking hella regular and average here, right? So in 2020, Sam was one of the biggest individual donors to Joe Biden. Oh, damn.
Look.
Oh, hell.
We voted for Joe Biden because we had to. Let's just stop lying.
He tried to make us vote for him again. And look, y'all know I even sold merch called Leg 2020 because Joe Biden said that Donald Trump wanted people to shoot, like wanted police to shoot them in the heart. And Joe Biden was like, we could shoot him in the leg. That would be better. And I was like, that's our choices. Like Donald Trump is a shot to the heart. Joe Biden is a shot to the leg. So let's go with the leg. Leg 2020, baby. I sold pants. I sold shirts and hats. I do not want him to run again. He's too old. He is 80 right now. Pop, please. Like, don't do this to us. Don't Ruth Bader Ginsburg us. I can't.
There's too many old niggas in power. I'm just going to say it.
Like, why you making laws? You ain't even going to be here for this. By the time we put it in place, you're not going to be here no more.
He too old for all this. He too old.
He too old.
But so Donald Trump. But those are the options.
Like, when you got to do a correspondence dinner and most of your jokes are like, I'm still alive. It's like, come on now. You know you too old.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Oh, man. And honestly, the misogyny and the sexism and the racism of, like, Kamala becoming president is what scares me. Because I'm like, no, like, come on now, y'all. Remember when Hillary ran for president and then the Democrats stayed at home and we lost? Y'all setting us up for that again. That's literally what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, thankfully, I have a little bit of bread I've been saving just in case. Have some options of other destinations.
We're going to have to move out of this hole. I can't live here no more.
There's some other countries that really will embrace us as black people.
Who? Where? Liberia?
I can't tell. Cause
Ghana
all y'all
said
gonna
they
go.
Would give us citizenship. So
then all y'all
I'm about
gonna go.
To be
go
in Nollywood movies, y'all.
It's like when I tell people about a good restaurant in L.A., now I want to go and it's an hour long wait. Y'all fucking up my meal. Y'all are fucking up my meal.
We're going to have to go. I'm going to fuck up your meal because we're going to have to leave and go when we leave because it's about to get bad. So Sam... giving money to Jotavius Biden. In addition to being the sixth largest individual donor overall in the 2022 midterm cycle, he contributed almost $40 million to candidates and PACs. Wow. So he was spending his coin, getting that political power. In June 2022, he even signed the Giving Pledge, in quotes, alongside other billionaire philanthropists like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and in a commitment to give away, like, so basically this commitment is to give away 50% of your wealth. So if you sign the Giving Pledge, you're like, I made all this money and I'm going to give half of it away to the girls I stole it from.
Effective altruisms.
So many altruisms.
You're an altruistic ass nigga, huh?
No, giving, okay? It's giving. So according to Sam, in quotes, if what you're trying to do is donate, you should make as much as you can and give as much as you can. If the math shows that it's magnitudes better to be an investment banker than work at a nonprofit, that's what you ought to do. So basically, they're excusing their capitalistic ways by being like, yeah, we squeezed all these profits out of poor people that we took all the money from, but we giving it back.
Yeah, this is a great A finesse.
It is. Because also giving it back to charities have boards. Nonprofits have boards, which are usually like filled with rich Nepo kids who get a salary. Like a lot of times when famous people tell you like, oh, we're going to donate all of our money to charity and we're not giving our kids any inheritance. They're saying that, but they're also putting their kids on the boards of their charities and they're salarying them for the rest of their lives.
Most nonprofits are scams like a motherfucker. I think about the NCAA, one of the biggest nonprofits, one of the biggest scams to date. The amount of money that's rolling through there, and then like you mentioned, people taking egregious salaries. And for the longest time, God bless NIL, but prior to NIL, it was like, you greedy ass athletes, you're not thankful for a free education. Meanwhile, like...
And how much of that education are they getting?
I wouldn't...
Because they got to be on the road.
I went to class, you know, sparingly. I'll say that. Very sparingly.
I know people who wrote y'all's papers.
I didn't trust niggas to write my paper. I would always write mine. I was a history major. I just watched the History Channel.
I knew dedicated paper writers. They were good.
If you want to scam finesse your way through college,
that's enough for athletes.
Major in history, watch the History Channel. I'm more of a visual learner, but I would just watch a couple specials on whatever it was, the area I was studying, roll in and just knock that final out. But I pride myself on being intelligent. I know a lot of people say, fuck it, you know, I ain't got
time
for this.
But I don't even think it's about being intelligent. I think it was just like they didn't have the bandwidth at the time.
You can always, whatever you want to do in life, you can always find time to do it. Yeah, was it annoying?
You were watching the History Channel.
Yeah, but that instead of being in class for a whole semester, I could just watch this two-hour special on this topic that we're learning about. British War, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever it is, okay, World War II,
I mean, I think that's very smart. I'm just saying, like, you were using a resource that made things faster for you.
But if you want to talk about scamming, had a lot of professors that literally wrote the textbooks for their class. So you had to pay 80, 90 bucks to read their textbook. And it's really them just verbal diarrheaing because they were feeling themselves too much. Like, nigga, get to the meat of it.
I had a class called MCE, which I can't even remember what it stands for, but it was a business class. And my professor wrote the book and you had to buy the book. It was $90 and he didn't have the nerve to even give us a hardback. It was like a leaflet. Oof. Soft ass book for $90. And you had to buy it.
You had to buy it to be in the class.
And then, and you know what they do too? Is like, he'd be like, oh, I updated some chapters so y'all can't get nobody old book. Yeah. You gotta get that new.
Version 7. It's like, nigga, it's the same as version 1 through 6. Now you added one like extra paragraph. But that's neither here nor there.
You need that new. So, anyways, charities are a scam. So, in 2021, he continued to make waves as one of the foremost figures in crypto when he moved FTX's offices from Hong Kong to the Bahamas following China's imposition of the crypto regulations. So China was like, we're not fucking with crypto no more. And they were like, okay, well, bye. We're going to go to the Bahamas where they still going to let us
beautiful island
do our best scams. So meanwhile, in the Bahamas, FTX gained a reputation as a major charitable part of the company. Working at FTX came with an excellent, like, benefit. Like, if you worked there, there were so many benefits such as large salaries, expensive meals, and access to full lines of luxury cars. So you could just drive around in the nicest shit.
Not that Toyota Corolla. Right? We got a fleet of Corollas for you.
Like Oprah. All those poor people. Y'all know I already told y'all about how Oprah gave all them teachers them cars, and then the teachers had to pay taxes on the cars. It was like $7,000 each, and so most of them ended up selling the cars back because they couldn't afford to pay the taxes on the free car. Yikes. It's a bad world we're living. So.
Damn, Oprah. I still got love for you, though. Watch your own network.
So the company spent upwards of $100,000 a week on catering from local restaurants and often donated the uneaten food afterwards. The company appeared not only healthy, but thriving, making several major acquisitions and increasing value. So, you know, when a company's expanding, y'all buying more, like, properties and stuff, everybody being like, oh, the company doing good. We winning. But that's not always the case.
Dun, dun, dun.
FTX downfall.
I knew it was coming.
Into the end. So in summer of 2022, the cryptocurrency industry experienced a massive crash. FTX announced that it would be extending a $250 million revolving credit line to the struggling crypto lending platform BlockFi, a bizarre decision just 4 days before it laid off more than a dozen Bahamian employees. So they were like, oh, everything is good. We give it $250 million to this site. Also, we fine.
It's always the Bahamians. You can't never just be a Bahamian without having to deal with some bullshit.
Honestly, if you're in the Bahamas, y'all should really just stop letting people come over there. Like, y'all need an embargo. Because wasn't that where the Fyre Fest was? Wasn't the Fyre Fest in the Bahamas? Yeah, the Fyre Fest was in the Bahamas. Like, the Bahamas got to stop letting people in. Y'all
certain
gotta
people.
Stop.
Certain people.
Of a hue. Of a certain hue. Stop letting them in, y'all, because this is, y'all taking major L's. So in September, FTX announced a $1.4 billion bid to buy out Voyager's assets, which is another crypto broker. So now they're trying to buy up shit, which don't make no sense because they're losing money, right?
You ain't got no money. Effective altruist.
So the dominoes began to fall in November of 2022, beginning with a scoop from crypto news site CoinDesk. And I know a lot about CoinDesk. So that the CoinDesk revealed that Alameda Research held $5 billion in FTT, the native token of FTX. So basically what they're saying is that Alameda Research, that was owned by Sam, right? Mm-hmm. And sexy racist Caroline.
His racist boo. Polyamorous boo thing.
they 10 boyfriends, girlfriends.
Yeah, everybody was eating good.
Owned $5 billion of the original cryptocurrency.
I think that's a great finesse.
Because technically, when you launch a cryptocurrency, you don't own it. Like, you're basically just putting something out into the public space. You can't legally own it.
Yeah. But so, what is legal with crypto? You can do whatever the fuck you want with crypto. That's what we learned.
It's vibes. So 4 days later, on November 6th, the rival exchange Binance announced it was selling all of its FTT tokens valued at $529 million, right? Mind you, $5 billion is held by the people who created it.
Yeah.
Too much. So this triggered a massive surge in customers attempting to withdraw their funds from FTX out of fear, totaling about $6 billion at once that FTX did not have. Meanwhile, Sam tweeted that day. So this is a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, beautiful. But that's what crypto is.
That's what crypto is.
At the core.
Because anytime somebody tell you like, oh, I'm making so much money, you should get involved. That's not how people work in America.
Where's the money coming? Like, you're just putting more money and raising the value of it. Mm-hmm. And then eventually once those people with the bread pull out, then you're fucked.
But, and also, if you making so much money, why are you trying to get me involved? That's not how America works. We don't share here. Yeah. That's not our thing. So it's a scam. So now people are pulling out their money, which in a Ponzi scheme, if everybody wants their money back at the same time, that's when the Ponzi scheme, you know, implodes.
Yeah, of course.
So that's what's happening here. So meanwhile, Sam tweeted that day, assets are fine. FTX has enough to cover all client holdings. We don't invest client assets, even in treasuries. Lying. Just days after FTX was announcing bankruptcy, its assets were frozen. Which, duh, because y'all was doing crime. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So within hours of filing for bankruptcy, roughly $477 million was stolen in a hack before its digital assets were removed to cold storage.
Who took this money?
I don't know, but they did robbery at the perfect time. They were like, oh, y'all about to go broke. I got to steal immediately, right now and today. So on November 10th, Sam tweeted, I fucked up. I should have done better. And blamed poor internal labeling of accounts on why FTX didn't have the liquidity to pay back its customers. So they were like, he was like, somebody, when they was doing the pluses and the minuses, you know, PEMDAS, like, we ain't put the parentheses around.
One of my favorite mathematical.
And we divided before we was supposed to multiply for before, and now we don't got no money.
It's gone.
So on December 12th, 2022, he was arrested in the Bahamas and charged with wire fraud, securities fraud, and money laundering, among other things. It turns out nearly $10 billion of the assets of Alameda Research that they use for their own risky investments and funds were actually customer assets, meaning they were buying things with other people's money.
Well, duh.
Yeah, we knew that. Like, duh.
You knew that shit was going.
That's how you buy things with other people's money.
Welcome to America.
So when people wanted their money back, obviously it wasn't there. Unlike other historical finance collapses, FTX didn't seem to fail because of the people playing against increasingly bad odds and losing, but rather through its outright deception and theft.
Well, look, this is America. This is how this country was built. It's tough shit. I just feel bad for all the celebrities and all those other people that got involved. Because I seen them commercials and they was good.
Shout out to Taylor Swift because she said no. FTX hit up Taylor Swift and wanted to pay her millions to promote it. And she was like, no.
I hope she said it just like that.
But other people did say yes. We'll get to them. So we're at the end. So due to bankruptcy, it's unlikely many FTX customers will ever see their funds. As of March 2023, Sam is also facing charges of attempting to bribe Chinese government officials with at least $40 million in cryptocurrency to unfreeze trading accounts attached to Alameda Research, frozen by the Chinese government. So remember, the Chinese government pulled out and was like, this is a scam. And he was like, hey, y'all, $40 million, would that make it less of a scam for y'all? And they were like, no. So he's pleaded not guilty to those charges, as well as a number of charges related to bank fraud, money laundering, operating an unlicensed money transmitting business, and making unlawful political contributions.
He cooked.
He fried. How do you do this much crime and you got 10 boyfriends and girlfriends?
Effective altruism. We was effectively, goddamn, but that level of scamming, like, I gotta, you know, there's no billionaires on this planet that ain't did some dirty shit in their life to get to where they're getting to.
I always say, if other than like
LeBron James,
you gotta do a murder.
He just did the Warriors dirty. 3-1 lead 2016. Y'all remember what happened?
Somebody has died if you got $1 billion.
If you have $1 billion.
That is directly related to you. Like sweatshops, 6 degrees of murder.
You got some 10-year-olds working overnights. Mm-hmm. You got some shady shit going down somewhere. You
and
might act like you don't know.
You may not know about it. Yeah. Or maybe you do. But
that's what Succession's taught me. Just don't tell me about it. Fix it.
You got to do a murder to be a billionaire.
Yeah, that's real
Kendall
shit.
Kendall did that murder of the cater waiter. You got to do a murder. So his trial is set to begin in October, and he's out on a $250 million bail, the largest in history. That is so
I mean, but he's
bail.
He's a dweeb, so where is he going to go? You know what he looks like.
I mean, do we?
Yeah, I mean,
he could put that hair in a bun.
He looked like a lot. Yeah, he should shave it off. He should get like
he looked like everybody. Y'all see, he literally looked like everybody. When y'all see him, you'll be like, wow.
He should get 360 waves.
Like, I saw him and I couldn't point him out in the lineup. Like, so Caroline Ellison, now I could point her ass out. She struck a plea deal with the Justice Department, pleading guilty to charges that initially carried a possible maximum sentence of like 110 years in prison. Ooh, Lord. Meanwhile, FTX is going after crypto exchanges that it lent funds to try to recover loans in order to pay back FTX customers. Y'all ain't getting y'all money back. Y'all not getting
shit
y'all money
gone.
Back. It's gone. The crypto industry is still recovering. It will never recover. It's gone.
It's over.
It's down bad. If y'all got crypto, sell. Sell right now.
I got some, but not enough to. I had a down couple years during the pandy. You know,
during the pandy.
Everybody was talking about crypto. I said, oh, well, let me just see, just in case.
Nah, get rid of it. Yeah. Sell it right now.
I'm a cheap nigga, so I had, you know, everybody had Bitcoin, but I saw Litecoin. I'm like, oh, let me get the Litecoin because it's a little bit cheaper.
You had Litcoin?
You know. Then bruh came out with that shit like, oh, I'm selling all my shit, but I'm going to stick around till it rebounds. Like, nigga, you lying. It's okay.
No, it's
you took
it's
my
fine.
Money. A lesson learned, though. It's only bad if you don't learn a lesson from it.
Yeah, but also, like, if there's a Ponzi scheme like crypto, get involved early, especially minorities. Get involved early so
you
can
tell
actually
us early.
They don't be telling us nothing.
You are not finding out. And that's the other shit, because you heard all these stories about all these billionaires that came from it. They all
damn,
looked a certain way.
You're right. They don't tell us nothing.
No, because they know they're going to sucker us. It's like the lottery.
All right. Well, then just like Josiah said earlier, when your broke friends tell you something, do the opposite. I'm going to say, like, if your rich friends tell you to get involved in something and you are black, brown, queer, anything that's a minority, don't do it. Because no. If they tell you hella fucking late. They done known for 6 years. They done been at parties doing cocaine and dancing around and making all the money. And now they tell your broke black ass because, like, we need to steal from you so we can leave. Because
they want to be effectively altruist. They going to altruist that bread.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
You're going to be the altruism. Don't do it. Don't do it. So, that brings us to the end of the show. The saddest part, where I have to let Josiah go. But before we do that, Scammer of the Week. This is real quick. This is where we honor a charlatan or criminal who's maybe worthy of our praise.
Charlatan is such a great word. You're a charlatan.
So, despite measuring at 7'1", it took private investigators to track down Shaquille O'Neal to serve him in an FTX fraud.
Not Shaq. Look, I don't blame Shaq. Shaq will sell anything. Icy Hot, Papa John's, General Auto Insurance. Shaq out here DJing now.
I did a show with Shaq during the pandemic on TBS called Shaq's Got 'Em Good. And
Shaq,
when I kid you
I don't
not,
blame Shaq. I blame the system.
He worked 45 minutes a day. And I was like pranking people and like doing all the bits and stuff. And then he would come in at the very end in this Hellcat that I think he had to take the back seats out of so that he could drive it because he's such a large man and tiny car. So he was getting out of it. It looked like a clown getting out of a clown car. And he would come for 45 minutes. He'd be like, "Hey, I'm Shaq. I got you good. Here's your Harley Davidson motorcycle." Or like, "Hey, I'm Shaq. Here's your wedding dress for free." Like that. And that was it.
That's all you need from Shaq. Shaq is a big man. He has a lot of priorities, a lot of shit going on. A thriving DJ career. Works with like 40 brands. A man of the people. I don't blame Shaq. I blame the system.
That man has so many jobs.
Shaq's probably like, "Money? Cool. What I got to do?" All right. That's it?
And that's how he got roped up in FTX, is because they were like, "Shaq, we got money for you." He was like, "You know, I love money. Sign online."
I love money too. I blame the system and society for allowing one of our great black heroes like Shaquille O'Neal to get duped and caught up in this world. Taylor Swift should have hit him. Been like,
Taylor should have told
Shaq, "I'm not fucking with this dog. You shouldn't fuck
if
with
him." If she
me.
Was a real ally, she would have told Shaquille.
Yeah, Taylor, you were not being an ally by allowing Shaq to get involved.
Taylor, we thought you was an ally. You came out and finally spoke against the Nazis who were your fans. Like, the least you could have did is like make a phone call to Shaq right after.
And look, Nazis, fucking with Taylor Swift, I understand. Because Taylor Swift got some bangers, okay?
We all get it. The problem is me. So Shaq has been named in a class action lawsuit filed in November on behalf of former clients of FTX. So FTX clients realize, like, we're not getting our money back. Like we just said, they're not getting their money back from FTX. That's gone. That's canceled. So they're like, let's go after the celebrities who we know still have money and try to recoup our losses that way.
If you're Shaq, are you like, pay me in FTX or just give me cash? So I work with a lot of companies. I'll be honest, some companies I believe in. I'm like, "Oh, you can give me some equity." But other companies, I'm like, "Oh, niggas, give me cash because I know y'all might be cooked soon."
Like, y'all, it's crime. It's giving crime. So the lawsuit accuses celebrity spokespeople with sponsorship deals for helping defraud investors at the disgraced cryptocurrency exchange. So basically, they're just being like, "Oh, look at that picture of Shaq. Yeah.
Look at big ass fingers with them little ass
right.
balls."
That's standard regulation Spalding basketball, and it looks like a tennis ball in his hands.
Are those just, them look like Photoshop hands.
I just don't understand why y'all gave y'all money to FTX because Shaq says so. Like, Shaq do basketball. Like, that's not finance.
I'm going to listen to Shaq, though. If Shaq says do some shit, I'm going to think twice about not doing it.
Maybe if he made more free throws, I would.
Nigga can't even make free throws.
Like, I just feel like if you can't make the free throw, I shouldn't give you money throws.
That's real. That's real.
Like, it's just, I shouldn't do that. So now they're suing them because they're like, "Y'all still got money and we want some." So the lawsuit is currently active. Adam Muskowitz is the lead attorney, and he claims that he tried to serve the Hall of Fame basketball player dozens of times at several of his houses. So they're saying Shaq was ducking the lawsuit.
Well, you just at the wrong house, dog. I'm Shaq. What house you think I was at?
They were like, "He's 7'1", but we can't find him." That means he was hiding.
I mean, if you really want to get to Shaq, you know where he has a very, very pronounced schedule. You know where you're going to be at.
So after 3 months of evasion, Shaq was finally served in his Atlanta house. That's actually where I shot that Shaq's Got 'Em Good show. So maybe he was getting them good down there.
Shaq's
again.
Got 'Em Good.
So according to the claims, he helped defraud FTX investors by promoting the exchange in commercials and at music festivals he hosts called Shaq's Fun House.
I went to Shaq's Fun House at a Super Bowl. It was turnt.
It was lit?
It was baller.
I would love to go. Was that this the past year's Super Bowl?
Yeah, Shaq was DJing. He was doing his thing. That's what I'm saying. If you want to serve Shaq, he probably going to be at Shaq's Fun House during his DJ set. I don't know what other DJ Diesel.
All the ones that do like wiki wiki.
I don't know what other DJ Diesel going to be there. Like, shit.
Man, I don't know. know. I love Shaquille O'Neal. He was so sweet to be it. I don't want him to get sued. Like, he was just signing a deal, y'all. Y'all got to understand how many deals Shaq signs in a day.
Shaq told y'all niggas eat Papa John's, too, and nobody's suing him for that shit. What are we talking about?
That sweet ass pizza.
Yeah.
We should be suing him for Papa John's. That's what we should.
Conditions, Papa. You know, Papa John's will get you through the right conditions. Not my first pizza choice. Not my second. Not my third.
Not my third. Not my fourth.
If I was in a desert. If it's all we got, I'll eat some Papa John's.
How long is it all we got? If I'm going to die, then yeah.
I'm trying to lose weight anyway, so I might just, you know, I'm good. All they got is Papa John's. Oh, okay. Perfect. God telling me to keep going in the right direction, Josiah.
So according to Shaq, a lot of people think I'm involved. This is what he said. A lot of people think I'm involved, but I was just a paid spokesperson for a commercial. Shaq, I believe you.
Not guilty.
I'm about to spray paint some t-shirts because I can't let Shaq go down like this.
Give Shaq free.
Free Shaq. So other celebrity spokespeople who got served in the lawsuit include Larry David, Gisele Bündchen, Tom Brady.
Yeah, ain't it, damn.
Trevor Lawrence, David Ortiz, Steph Curry, Naomi Osaka.
Oh, Steph, Lakers and six. I know a name you did not mention, LeBron Raymond James Sr., too savvy for that and too cheap. LeBron, I ain't fucking with no crypto. Nigga, that sound expensive.
Right, he's like, I'm not giving the five.
I'm good.
And he wasn't. All right, y'all. That brings us to the end of a very fun episode. Josiah, we always ask at the end of these episodes, where would you like to be found? That's where people can find you on Twitter, anything you want them to see, all of the things.
Normally, I'm a man that likes to keep to myself, and I really don't want y'all bothering me. But in this particular instance, King Josiah 54, Twitter, Instagram. Please pull up, enjoy it. If you're a certain age, you're over 30, under 50, you're really going to appreciate it. If you're younger than that, 30, probably not appreciate it as much. There's going to be a lot of shit you're like, oh, I don't know what that is. Like, oh, that's not my job to tell you. Like, it's for my demographic, okay? So don't get mad at me.
It's a very fun Twitter. I love your Twitter.
Oh,
that's how we met. And as always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure the scam is retired so we don't what? Yes, fuck up your bag. If you want to follow me, DivaLaci on all platforms. If you want to see the photos of that ugly racist woman, who we can only call ugly because she is racist, scamgoddesspod on Instagram. Congregation, stay shacking.
Don't blame Shaq. He's a good man.
He's a great man.
He was betrayed. He was led astray.
He was bamboozled. Okay?
Do not blame Shaq.
Because he's a... I like him. I like him a lot. Scam Goddess! This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar. And our audio engineer is Sam Kiefer. Research for the show is done by Caitlin Brandt. Stay scamming.
This is Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, the promo, and in 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you why you should check out the show. I, the host Scott Aukerman, have a lighthearted conversation with famous celebrities like Jon Hamm, Allison Williams, Phoebe Bridgers, Bob Odenkirk, just to name a few. Things go a little off the rails when different eccentric characters drop by to be interviewed as well. Each week is a blend of conversations and character work from your favorite comedians, as well as some new hilarious voices. Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast. Listen every Monday wherever you get your podcasts.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.